You know what old Jack Burton always says at a time like this?
Any of them savvy English?
Like I told my last wife, I says, honey, I never drive faster than I can see. Besides that, it's all in the reflexes.
I can see things no one else can see.
Weasley, I'm not saying that I've been everywhere and I've done everything.
It's all in the reflexes.
Welcome to It's All in the Reflexes, a podcast all about the greatest movie ever made, John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China. I'm Luke, that's all you really need to know about me, but I'm a super fan of this movie, and that's why I started a fan page on Instagram at Bigger Trouble in Little China. Also go to patreon.com/biggertrouble or follow the link in the description of this episode, or go to Instagram and follow the link in my bio at Bigger Trouble in Little China. So let's get started, and welcome to It's All in the Reflexes.
Well, you just stare that big sucker right back in the eye, and you remember what old Jack Burton always says at a time like that. Have you paid your dues, Jack? Yes, sir, the check is in the mail.
In the scene where Egg shows Jack the gun, Dirty Harry's gun, and here's a gun to make you feel like Dirty Harry, okay? So, like I said, I'm up to 50. On this episode, I'm talking about 57 minutes to 31 seconds to about 101 minutes and 50 seconds. So that's what I'll be talking about in this episode. So just to catch you up to where we are, Jack, Wang have escaped from Wing Kong Trading Company, and they rescued some of the girls that Lo Pan had been kept prisoner. They've run outside, they got into the yellow bus, they've driven away. They find out that Mao Ying is still left inside, they haven't rescued her, they haven't found her. And then Jack realizes that Gracie Law is not with them. Then we cut to Gracie, we've seen her being dragged into this whole sort of secret doorway. And this hairy hand grabbed her head and pulled her in. She now comes face to face with the wild man, as he's called. He's sometimes called the Chinese wild man. The big and woolly monster, sort of orangutan, almost. He's called the Wild Man, but in early stages he was called the Chinese Wild Man. And so she just looks at him, screams, and then they jump down this hole into this sort of chains along the wall, and there's some chains on the floor in the middle of the room. It's like a round room. And he puts her in chains somehow, very quickly, puts her in chains, makes a noise, sort of wanders off, and then in walks Rain and Thunder, still in their really cool black suits. They look at her, she's on the floor, she's looking up at them, and this is the first time they notice that she's got green eyes. They kind of smile at each other, even though Thunder has seen her before. So maybe he did notice and told the wild man to go and grab Gracie, because she does see them in the lift in the moon. So he must have known that she had green eyes. So, yes. So then in rolls old man Lo Pan. And he's just sort of looking at Gracie in amazement. Like, oh my God, you know, two girls with green eyes. It's not really brought up in the film, I don't believe, but in the deleted scenes, we find out that Gracie Law is sort of part Chinese, and she was sort of brought up in China. So I think this may be why the spell that will break the curse and will work with her as well. I mean, I don't know, because I think if it was just Chinese girls don't come with green eyes, but let's see, Gracie Law is part Chinese. So he kind of goes, what does this mean? Two girls with green eyes after all these years. He's been waiting so long, and now it's two girls come along with green eyes, and he's kind of excited, really excited. Gracie Law is just going at him. He's going, where's this bastard? Where is Lo Pan? And then they start laughing at her. She starts laughing at them. All three of them do. This one has fire, Lo Pan says. And Gracie has had it up to here with all these maniacs. She's finally had enough. I've had it up to here. She tries to put her hand up above her head, but she's chained. And then Lopan sort of mimics what she's doing. He does the same with his hand, like, oh yes, putting his hand up, almost like saluting, like up to here. And he's just having a wonderful time. He's almost crying and laughing and so happy that he's found somebody else. And dirty old man Lopan goes straight for the boobs again in this one. Starts playing with Gracie Law's shirt and just sort of tickling her around the chest, there up by the under the chin, and then she bites him on the finger, which shocks Rain and Thunder, the two storms that are projecting. Sort of, oh my god, how dare she start biting Lopan? So she calls Lopan a coward. Why won't he come out and face an unarmed girl 1-on-1? And this is where really Lopan, he's sort of crying. He's like tears of happiness. He is so happy that he has found this girl. And you just sort of close up onto his face, and he's just like, I have now got two girls with green eyes. A great performance by James Hong underneath all that makeup. It's just to bring out so much emotion and stuff, but also been doing that while you're in makeup must be really difficult, I believe, for an actor. So we then cut back. We fade, sort of, I don't know what you call it, transition from them sort of into Margot looking out the window. We're back at the restaurant, the Dragon of the Black Pool, and she's sort of looking out the window. It's raining, and she goes and she says, this is like some radical Alice in Wonderland. So this is sort of, I've always remembered this line from the movie. Well, I remember all the lines, but this one I kind of, it's kind of a way of describing the movie and what's going on, because it's like this underneath world of Alice going into Wonderland, Jack Burton in Wonderland, going into the underneath Chinatown, into the depths. And she sort of turns around, and then we're coming up to this scene that Jack is sharpening his knife. He's getting ready for action. He needs his knife to be really sharp, because it obviously blunt before, because he had it in his mouth. So he's in the restaurant, and he's getting ready for battle, getting ready to go back in to rescue Mao Ying and Gracie Law. With this, we now see that Wang has changed his clothes. He's now in a jumpsuit, like a military kind of flight suit, like Top Gun type of flight suit. And this was his idea. This was Dennis Dunn's idea. He was supposed to be dressed up all in black like the other Chang Sings, like in the ninja gear. That's what he was meant to be wearing, but he had this jumpsuit. I'm not sure if the one they used in the film is exactly his, but he had one like that already, and he says that he used to wear it just hanging out in San Francisco. But he took that to the costume designer and John Carpenter, and they both liked it. And I do believe that he still has it as well, still owns that. I think it works great. And as a kid, that was the coolest thing. He really did look ready to go to war. I always remember that. He was like, yes, he's ready to go in and to fight. And it does make him stand out more from the other Chang Sings, I believe, which is good. So he's ready. Jack thinks that she's going to write a book and got a bestseller on her hands, Margot. And she's like, oh, you know, why don't you call the cops? You're not a one-man army. And then we kind of cut back to a line that Wang had said to Jack, that cops have got better things to do than get killed. Jack says that line to her, cops got better things to do than get killed. And you kind of have a moment between Jack and Wang. And it's kind of a more of a serious moment. Wang is not a joke. He does not like please. He's now understanding it. He's just like, yeah, you get it now. You know, what we're about to do. So then Ed Chan walks in with the Chang Sings. These are the yellow turbans. These are the good guys. And everyone starts to scream in the restaurant. Now, I have seen this movie I don't know how many times, so many times over the years. But I think once I get a thought stuck in my head the first time I saw it, I thought there were, because the people scream when they come in, they're sort of at the tables, I thought they were customers. Now, thinking about it, why would everyone be getting ready to go into battle in the middle of a restaurant that has food, and you see Uncle Chu sort of serving the food, but he's actually serving the girls they have just rescued from Lo Pan. So at the table, for some reason I've never noticed this before, it's just me, but Uncle Chu is serving, he's giving them food, they're probably very hungry. So it's not, the restaurant's not open to the public. Yeah, it's the girls that scream. So that's probably just me, probably no one else is. You're probably going, oh, God, it's the first time you noticed that, Luke? That's ridiculous. So, yeah, so Uncle Chu's having the time of his life with all these women around him, feeding them food. And so now we have the Chang Sings comes in. The one that talks, he's like, Jack says, does any of them know savvy English? Any of them savvy English? And then you get one of the Chang Sings. Chang Sing number one is called, and he says, hey, who is this guy? And that is James Liu. He's at Dragon Master James on Instagram. Great guy. And he was one of the producers as well, and the fight instructor, and still working today in the industry. Jack wants to know if they got any guns. And Egg Chan sort of says, not against. Egg Chan says, not against Lo Pan. Then he pulls out this big Dirty Harry gun and hands it to him. But he's one to make you feel like Dirty Harry. Real sort of funny scene. I don't know why he's got this gun if he's not going to use it, but he just happens to be walking around with this gun. Jack's sort of like, no, it's fine. And then Jack's like, so you coming with us, Egg? He's like, yes, this is his destiny. He's like, well, yes, if I don't come with you, you won't make it out alive. So then Margot wants to come as well, but Jack says no, tells her to stay there above ground and with Uncle Chu and Eddie. So Eddie's not going. He's a badass that kills people all the time when he sees, but he's just not coming back. So he's not bothered by killing people with a gun, but he's going to stay there with Uncle Chu. Jack tells him that Eddie's got a crush on Margot, and she wants to know what, like you with Gracie. But Jack just wants his drug back. He's not thinking about the woman. And Margot has a sort of a jab saying, oh, yes, she's not your type. She's all brains. And Egg doesn't have time for this. He's like, no. Let's go. Come on. So then they start to leave. And then we cut back to that white room where Mao Ying was hovering. You know, sort of she's asleep or in stasis. She's hovering in midair. Hair falling to the ground, falling to the floor. And then Thunder pushes Gracie into the room. And says, doesn't get many lines, but well, probably his most quoted line. Play your cards right. Live to talk about it. And then the doors slide shut. There's a lot of these doors open themselves, sometimes close themselves as well, sometimes don't close themselves. But this one is just, I don't know if it's supposed to be magic or it's actually automated doors, but this is such a little wooden door where you can actually just, there is probably just a couple of guys offset just pushing the door closed. But it's something that I've noticed, but I think it might be magic or it's just, anyway. So Mao Ying's still there floating. Gracie doesn't really understand what's going on. She's like, are you Mao? Of course it's Mao Ying, but she sort of asks this sleeping woman in the room if she's okay and if she's Mao Ying. And then behind her, if you just look over, Lo Pan appears. He just kind of walks round the edge of a post there, and then he's there. And Gracie turns to see David Lo Pan. And he tells her, he sort of looks into Gracie Laws and he goes, you've come to seek me out with your green eyes. And Gracie goes, yes, no. And then Mao Ying wakes up and speaks, yes. She wants to know if this is some kind of magic. This is the darkest magic. My soul swims in it, scattered across time, trapped in the world of formlessness. Until I find her and marry her. Now he starts to walk towards Gracie. She's mesmerized by him. So he's describing what's going to happen. That he, the girl with green eyes, the girl who can tame the burning blade. So, and then he goes, Mao Ying or Gracie Law? So he's telling her, which one of the two of you, who survives, I will marry. And then his eyes open and his mouth. And then he goes back to the lights pour out of his eyes into her face, and then we cut. That's where it ends. And so that's 101 minutes and 50 seconds about then. So on the commentary, I like to do a part where I listen to the commentary over the section that I'm talking about between John Carpenter and Kurt Russell. Great commentary. One of the best commentaries there are on DVDs. When they used to do them, don't do them as much now. But it's one of the best. And in this, they're sort of talking about what, kind of continues on what I was talking about last time, but he's talking about how working on movie sets, you have a different people, different jobs have, like Jack Kurt Russell was saying, where he goes on, works on the film, then goes away. Whereas John Carpenter has to go and edit the film and has more that way. So it's a sort of a different relationship with the film, and talking about different experiences on other movies, and when your sort of vision of the film or your character doesn't sort of line up with the director or the writer, and how hard that can be. And they don't say any names. They both talk about having sort of bad experiences on films, of bad scripts, or working with a director or other actors, but they don't say any names. But what Kurt Russell does make a point of saying is that it is all about the script. The script is very important. And he also talks about his, I think it's his stepson, Oliver. So he's talking about Oliver Hudson, I think, and how he's starting to make movies. Like, this was about 20 years ago now, back around 2000, I think they recorded this. And Kurt Russell was saying trying to teach him that you have to start from a good screenplay. You very rarely get a good film made from a bad screenplay. You can make a bad movie from a great screenplay, but you probably wouldn't make a great movie from a bad one. So I find that very interesting. So, yes, I hope you enjoyed me talking about this part of the movie, and that you'll join me again. Thank you. If you want to contact me, email me at biggertroublepodcasts@yahoo.com. biggertroublepodcasts@yahoo.com. It would be great to hear from you. Also, go to patreon.com/biggertrouble or follow the link in the description of this episode, or go to Instagram and follow the link in my bio at biggertrouble_in_little_china. There's a lot of stuff on there for free. You don't have to pay. Just join Patreon. And that's not just for this podcast. It's for all the podcasts produced by Bigger Trouble Podcasts. There are so many and more to come. But if you do want to join, you can for just £1 plus VAT a month. And that gives you so much behind the scenes stuff, extra episodes, early access, photos, videos, and so much more. Please check it out. Patreon.com/Bigger Trouble. If you want to contact me, DM me on Instagram or email me at biggertroublepodcasts@yahoo.com. biggertroublepodcasts@yahoo.com. It would be great to hear from you. Please follow, rate, subscribe, and leave 5 stars on whatever platform you listen on.
Like I told my last wife, I says, honey, I never drive faster than I can see. Besides that, it's all in the reflexes.
It's all in the reflexes.